they were leaving to draw up formal papers. That afternoon, Berry summoned five brave women to his office. They dressed for the occasion. All wore smart cloche hats, while Grace slipped a fox fur around her shoulders. Even Albina made it to this most exceptional meeting. She had barely left her bed in the past month. But better than any outfit, more dazzling than any jewels, were the smiles that wreathed all their faces. For they had done it. Against all the odds, after a phenomenally hard battle, fought while they were in the most fragile health imaginable, they had nonetheless held the company to account. They spent 3 hours with Berry, and, in that time, the women signed the settlement papers. The company had kept the lump sum in the final agreement at $10,000, but it agreed all their other terms. It was a quite extraordinary achievement. The media flashbulbs glared as the women posed for a photo to mark the moment. Quinta, Edna, Albina, Catherine, and Grace. They stood all in a row, the dream team, the smiling sorority, and, for this one day, not sadly smiling, but beaming, false teeth and all, in pure delight and not a little well-deserved pride. The formal announcement of the settlement came from Judge Clark himself at 7 p.m. By now, a crowd of perhaps 300 had gathered. All aisles and passageways to the elevators were jammed. Clark fought his way through the crowds to a good vantage point from which he could break the news. He cleared his throat and asked for silence, which fell in a soft hush, broken only by the pop of flashbulbs and the papery whisper of pen on pad. Once he had the full attention of the press, the judge announced the exact terms of the deal. "You can say, if you want to," he added unctuously, "that the judge did a good job." The settlement specified that the company admitted no guilt. Markley added purposely, "The firm was not negligent, and the claims of the plaintiffs, even if well-founded, are barred by the statute of limitations. We are of the opinion that USRC's legal position is unassailable." The corporation itself, meanwhile, released a statement proclaiming that its motivation in settling was purely humanitarian. The statement ended, "USRC hopes that the treatment which will be provided for these women will bring about a cure." And therein lay another crucial part of the settlement. The company had insisted that a committee of 3 doctors be set up to examine the girls regularly. 1 physician would be appointed by the girls, 1 by the company, and 1 mutually agreed. If any 2 doctors of this board should arrive at an opinion that the girls are no longer suffering from radium poisoning, Berry noted, the payments are to cease. It was obvious what the company officials planned. They didn't even try to hide it from Berry. "I fully believe," Berry wrote, "that it is the intention of the corporation, if possible, to work out a situation in which they will be able to discontinue payments."